I hear an essence echoing in the western woods. Can you go there? This is Legendary Adventures, a Legend of Zelda playthrough podcast. This week in Oracle of Ages, we're making some trades before heading into the western woods to tackle the Wing Dungeon. As Link ventures through the land of Labyrinna, from time to time a shadow can be seen moving across the ground. Something high above in the air darts back and forth before coming down low. The shadow is revealed to belong to a witch named Maple. The paths of Link and Maple will occasionally collide, literally, on this adventure. I had my first meeting with Maple just north of Spirit's Grave. When Link and Maple collide, many of the items from their bags go flying all across the ground. Maple isn't happy about that. She also frets about a book that she is searching for. Once Maple is done talking, the race is on. Who can gather the most fallen stuff? This round, I lost. Maple made out with more than she started with. The wiki on ZeldaDungeon.net suggests that Maple's appearances are based on the number of enemies you defeat. Just west of the spot where I met Maple, there stands a lone grave beneath a tree inside a fenced-off area. A ghost holding a lantern floats inside the fence. We can use the power bracelet to lift the stone and talk to the ghost. It says the headstone is actually trapping it, preventing it from reaching the afterlife. The ghost also strangely says that it's below ground and asks for Link's help. The ghost then disappears. We push the headstone up, revealing a staircase, and head underground. The ghost is floating at the top of a partially flooded room. Speaking to it, it thanks us for moving the headstone and promptly leaves. We head back up and speak to the ghost a third time. We receive the first item in a straw millionaire-style trading quest. It's the Poe Clock. This quest is strictly optional. I had no idea where it would go or what it would lead to when I started the game. I will say that having to speak to the ghost three times between two screens is an odd way to start out. From Yule Graveyard, I traveled west to Linna City and continued west to the woods. We need to lift a stone to gain access. These are the Fairy's Woods. We don't have to travel far inside before we see the dungeon. We do, however, have to take a winding path to reach it. And we'll run into a big roadblock on our way. True to its name, this forest is the home to three fairies, who look like the stray fairies from Majora's Mask. They block our path. They challenge Link to a game of hide and seek. We see each fairy travel to a hiding spot. Finding the fairies, however, is easier said than done. The fairies have mixed up the woods. Depending on the direction we take when exiting the current screen determines where in the woods we'll end up. A wrong path leads us back to the start. It's similar to The Lost Woods meets the game of hide and seek with the Bomber Secret Society of Justice. I found the first two fairies fairly easily, both were inside bushes. The second fairy I found warned that the last would be the hardest to find. I agree. I kept looping through the same locations, and ultimately found it by accident. The trick is to double back on an exit to reach the final location. We go up, then down, then up again. I found the final fairy under a rock. After the game of hide and seek, the fairies return the forest to normal and suggest that we play again sometime. With the fairies' woods back to normal, we can proceed to the dungeon. There is a sign just outside the dungeon that warns that it is prone to crumbling. There is a stone which blocks the path. As soon as we lift the stone, the dungeon crumbles. The Maku Tree contacts Link telepathically. According to her, that stone was somehow a support beam, even though it was entirely unconnected to the dungeon. The Maku Tree directs Link to Nehru's house to see if he can find something that will help. Nehru's house is located in the Forest of Time, to the north of Linna City, and just east of where we first met Nehru at the start of the game. Impa has made it her home base, while Link saves the kingdom. She notices a draft coming from behind a fairy statue. We push the statue to the side and find a secret staircase to a second story. On this upper floor, we find the Harp of Ages. After picking up the harp, Nehru appears in a vision from the past. It's not unlike the telepathic message Link received from Princess Zelda after acquiring the titular Ocarina of Time. Zelda taught Link the Song of Time with that message. Nehru, too, uses her message to teach a song. Nehru says she hid the harp just in case something happened to her. She says if Link has it, he must be a hero and teaches the Song of Echoes. The song will open up time travel portals. These portals are similar to the portals used to travel between the Light World and the Dark World in A Link to the Past. The big difference is the portals are not active unless we play the Song of Echo on the Harp of Ages. There is a portal just outside of Nehru's house. Playing the song allows us to return to 400 years in the past. Inside Linna Village, we can make a few trades. Near the center of the village, there is a small building with a red roof and a single door. This is the post office. The postman, a nod to Majora's Mask, says he wants to deliver the mail, but he doesn't know the time. We give him the Po clock in exchange for a piece of stationery. On the far west side of Linna Village, there is a tiny building with a blue roof. It's an outhouse. Inside, we find a ghostly hand rises out of the toilet. It's yet another nod to Majora's Mask and the Japanese ghost story which inspired it. The hand is looking for paper. We give it the stationery in exchange for a, bag of stink? Yuck. Heading into the Western Woods, we find several villagers and palace guards milling about. They are looking for something that Queen Ambi wants. In the past, the fairies' woods are known as the Deku Woods. They have a different layout. The woods are maze-like, but not in the magical way that the fairies' woods were. We find one man standing in front of the dungeon. He mentions that Queen Ambi has bombs. The dungeon entrance is sealed shut and clearly requires a bomb to open. We must find what Queen Ambi is after. As we speak to more people who are searching the woods, it becomes clear the queen wants mystery seeds. There is a kid who tells us that mystery seeds will make owl statues move. He's teaching us how the game's hint system will work. To reach the mystery seeds, we have to move both underground and above ground through passages. The underground caves are large. We can enter some to get some goodies, and there will be some out-of-reach areas teased. We will visit those areas as we progress through the woods. Again, this is something that we'll notice throughout the game. Dungeons and caves are large, and are generally not viewable on a single screen. Players need to move around and scroll the camera to see the full area. At the end of the path, we get mystery seeds. As we start to make our way out of the woods, a soldier appears and takes us back to the castle to meet Queen Ambi. That saves us some backtracking, which is nice. At the castle, Ambi keeps her promise and gives us bombs. She says Nehru is the one who actually wants the mystery seeds. We know Nehru is not really the person who is after them. Why Varen wants them is unclear. After getting the bombs, Link is escorted out of the castle. The camera lingers, and Ambi asks if Link will be able to find his way back. A soldier responds that he will. Nehru, or rather Varen, appears and reveals that she is manipulating Link in order to further her own goals. What she needs the seeds for is unclear. She comments on how the sight and the smell of them are unpleasant to her. We learn that Varen is using Nehru's powers to make it an endless day to keep people working on the tower. Her goal is to bring about an Age of Shadows. She will be able to do that once the tower is complete. Using our newly acquired bombs, we enter the second dungeon of the game, the Wing Dungeon. The music is again a short loop. There are 12 or so staccato stabs ending in a little drum beat before a second round of stabs begins. The whole thing lasts about 15 seconds, then loops again. The dungeon spans two floors. The top floor is shaped like a bird. The upper area on the left is the head and beak, and the upper area on the right is a tail. A single room at the bottom is separated from the others, making a foot. It reminds me of a Roadrunner. This may just be me, though. The second floor is more squat and T-shaped. It may be intended to be the ground the bird is running on, but if I squint, I can maybe imagine it as a small set of wings. This dungeon sees players moving back and forth between the head and the tail of the dungeon to solve puzzles with strong emphasis on color. Just beyond the entrance to the dungeon, a locked door forces players to the left. We travel up to the beak for a key. Along the way, we'll find a more complex version of the puzzle involving the large colored dice that we first saw in the previous dungeon. This time we need to push the block into a space with the red side up. It took me a little bit of fiddling around to position the block just right to get it into the right spot. As we make our way to the beak, we pass a set of minecart tracks, but there aren't any minecarts to be seen. The map is found on the other side of a bombable wall. After getting the key, we backtrack through the body towards the tail. We reach the foot by using a bomb to blast a hole in a wall in a room that's just right of the entrance. We pass through a side-scrolling room to reach the foot and get a second key. Backtracking from the foot, we head north and find our first minecart, and we pick up the compass along the way. This is, to my memory, the first minecart in a Zelda game. I bring this up because I feel like minecarts are a common element in the games directed by Hidemaro Fujibayashi. We'll find minecarts in Oracle of Seasons, The Minish Cap, Skyward Sword, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom, and it all seems to start right here. The minecart carries us to the back of the head. From the terminal, we move to the front of the head and into the mini-boss arena. According to Nintendo Power, this boss is called Swoop. It's described as a winged demon. To me, it actually looks kind of like a large rabbit, though it does have small horns. It uses its ears as wings to fly around the arena, and it tries to fall on top of Link. When it falls, it breaks a hole in the floor. All we have to do is avoid its attacks and land hits with the sword while it's still on the ground. When Swoop falls, it leaves behind a fairy and a portal to the dungeon entrance. With the mini-boss defeated, two doors will open on the east wall of the mini-boss room. There is one to the north and one to the south. I took the door to the north, which happened to be the right choice. When I doubled back later to check the room to the south, I discovered it just leads to a trap room in the basement. The door to the north also leads to the basement, but it's the path forward. In the south central room of the lower floor, we find a staircase that leads to a side-scrolling room. This room contains the dungeon item. Though unlike Spirit's Grave, this room is not shaped the same as the side-scrolling rooms from the original Legend of Zelda. Instead, we have to dodge a crusher enemy to collect Rock's Feather. Just outside this room, there is a puzzle which requires Rock's Feather. A raised block is colored red. A yellow panel on the floor is not far away from it. A nearby owl statue says to use the blue wing to soar over colored heights. This hint threw me off entirely. I spent way too long trying to jump over the raised red block, thinking that I somehow needed to get over it and land onto the yellow space. The thing is, there's no way to jump over the red block. The intended solution is to jump over the yellow panel and make it change color. We turn it to red and then open the doors to continue on. As we continue on in this dungeon, and others, we'll see this color-changing panel puzzle repeated and expanded upon. In this dungeon, we'll find a variation with a grid of these color-changing panels. We'll also use one to change a traffic signal. These traffic signals are an expansion to the minecarts and tracks. There are rail switches to change the direction we travel, and also lights connected to stop arms which prevent the carts from moving forward. When we find the first of these stop arms, we push a colored dice into the correct position with a blue side up to change the traffic light and raise the stop arm across the tracks. We'll jump over a color changing panel to change another traffic light and raise another stop arm. There's two more puzzles that I want to touch on. The first is found in the base of the tail. We need to push a set of colored statues to mirror another set of nearby statues. A single yellow statue is in the middle. We surround it with blue statues in a cross shape and red statues on the corners. The boss key is found in a room with a color-changing floor. It's located just to the right of the room with the colorful statue puzzle, through a locked door. We change the color of the floor by jumping over a color-changing tile in the center of the room. When the floor changes color, it reveals that there are a number of slime enemies hidden inside. We can defeat them when we see them. They will change their color to match the floor. Clearing the room of enemies reveals the chest with the boss key. The boss is called Headthwomp. It's found in a side-scrolling arena. It's kind of like a statue with four faces. Each face is a separate color. One is green, one blue, one purple, one red. An owl statue just outside the boss arena tells us, the red face fears smoke. It's a callback to the original game and the hint to defeat Dodongo. This fight is ultimately quite different, however. There are platforms which rotate around Headthwomp as it rotates around. We need to throw a bomb into the top of the boss when the red face is showing. The boss flings fireballs and bomb pickups so that we don't run out. Landing a bomb inside Headthwomp when the wrong face is showing results in a flurry of attacks. I found this fight pretty frustrating. I used the rewind feature on Switch Online often to get through it. Eventually, I was successful. After Headthwomp falls, we can collect a piece of heart and the next essence. It's the ancient wood. We're told it whispers only truth to closed ears out of stillness. A message from the Maku tree directs us to Crescent Island on the South Seas. We will head there next week. If you want to follow along, please subscribe. And if you've already subscribed, thank you! Please also consider sharing this episode with a friend. I am Paul Riley, and I will see you next week.